Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here. And a blessed, blessed day to be alive. Well, this morning, the Lord gave me a message about being a fellow laborer. How many of you are fellow laborers? How many of you love to do the Lord's work? Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 6. I'll be reading verses 6 through 12 in the Word. When you get to the Scripture, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 11. And this is Paul's writing in the book of Corinthians. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of this word. And God, today, Lord, as we are learning to be fellow laborers, put a burning desire in our hearts, Father, to do the work that you've called us to do. And Father, let us know and realize that you get all of the honor, the glory, and the praise, and we should never take credit for anything, because it is by you, Lord, that we do all things and that all things are possible. And Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and nothing from my thoughts or my own words. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So you might ask, what is a fellow laborer? Is a fellow laborer someone who stands around and watches everybody else do all the work? Have you ever watched, I used to like the commercials on TV, but they used to have a Doritos commercial on TV, and there'd be one guy standing there, and he's got a bag of Doritos, and he's eating a Doritos potato chip, and there's about three or four people standing around there, and they're doing all the work. And he's standing there aside, popping Doritos down. And I can guarantee you that's not a fellow laborer. But I will point this out. There are folks in the Lord's house, in the church body, that do like to stand around and watch while everybody else does something. And then when it comes time, you know, for recognitions, they're going, oh, yeah, I was a part of that. Well, what'd you do? Well, I prayed. That's what a lot of folks would say. But really what a fellow laborer is, it is someone who works with others to accomplish something. A fellow laborer or a helper. And that's what I want us to focus on today. Because I've preached a lot about how important it is that we serve the Lord and that we witness and that we love and that we pray and that we can do everything we can for one another. But it is so, so important to be a fellow laborer, because you know what? If you ever look at a construction site and you see a job that's being done, you don't see just one person framing up a wall. You know, it takes multiple people to bring those 2x4s together and drive the nails in, either with a hammer or a nail gun. But it takes a team of people working together to frame that wall. And then it takes that, because how many of you ever tried to put a wall up by yourself? Oh, man. You talk about back-breaking. I've tried to do just a little wall by myself on my own and found out what a challenge and a struggle that it was. And I always found out that when I had people there alongside of me, man, the job went so much easier. If you ever notice the Amish, this is what I like about the Amish. They always work together as fellow laborers. You never see one Amish person standing around going, well, I wonder who's going to step up to the plate to do this job. Well, if I see three or four, then I'll move. You know, as fellow laborers in Christ, you and I, we should look at ourselves, and when the Lord is calling us to do a work, you and I should be the first ones to stand up and say, you know what, Lord, I'll go and I'll do it. I don't care who follows me or whatever, because Lord, I know that you're going to do a great and a mighty work. And through me, Lord, I pray that others will follow. Because you know what? When you have one person go, you'll generally have a lot of people follow behind. And I watched a video here a while back. I think it was probably last November. And all these Amish people, all these Amish men got together. And they were having to move an Amish barn. Boy, I want to tell you what, there is over, I think, 200 men in that video. And what they did, these men, first they had a plan. They got around this barn and they built this structure on the outside and on the inside of that barn. And basically what it was an area that these men could get in there and they could grab a hold and all these men together lift at one time. And in watching this video, all these Amish, there was men, there was older men, there was young men, and there was even some young boys who were in there to take part of the heavy labor of moving that barn. I don't know who was shooting the video, because you know Amish normally don't like to be on video or in pictures. But anyway, all of these Amish men at one time lifted together at the same time. Nobody tried to get ahead of nobody else, and nobody was lagging behind. And they lifted up this big barn, and all of a sudden, the person on the outside pans back, and you see this barn being moved. And all of the Amish men are on the inside. This is what was funny. It looked like a barn with a million feet. It looked like the barn had grown feet and was moving itself on down the road. And they did. These men worked together and they carried that barn just a little ways down the road and they went up a hillside and they had a foundation already set in place and all together. And this is what I loved. They didn't quit walking. They kept moving while the job was done. And when they got to the end and set that barn down, they didn't say, well, let's just take the rest of the day off and we'll finish it tomorrow or we'll finish it next week. I'm too tired. No, these men got together and they secured that barn to a foundation. And finally, when the job was complete, they were able to step away and look back and see what they did together. And I guarantee you, I saw a bunch of smiles in that video. But could you imagine what we as God's people could do if we would start right here at Boscadale Baptist Church? If we would start telling others about Jesus Christ, if we would start building a house together. Actually, we need to do some barn moving ourselves here. Sometimes our barns have sat in the wrong place a little too long, and it's time to work together to do some moving. See, there's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ, There's a lot of people who are Christians that they don't even go to church anywhere. And here's one thing I found out. People don't go to church, and this is the reason why. Because I've had people tell me, well, I didn't go to church because I was never invited. I've had people tell me, well, I've got a deacon lives next door to me, or I've got, you know, a preacher or whatever lives in our neighborhood, and not one time have they ever called or come and knocked on my door and invited me to church. And that's what I find sad. If we would get together as God's laborers, as co-workers together, and if we would start making the calls on the telephone and going and knocking on somebody's door, and I'll tell you what really, really speaks to people. If you can make just a casserole dish or something and a dessert and go to somebody's house, that's one thing that Janine and I love to do. I mean, we did. When we went to Effie's house that one night, we took apple bread and some other cookies. Yeah. See, she didn't forget. But you know, the one thing that I felt, we had our sister in Christ was in need during a time, and we reached out to her and Patty, and we weren't asking for a pat on the back. We weren't asking for nobody to say, boy, those two, look what they did. We weren't even asking. We went because we love our church people. And when somebody's in need, so we took food over and we had the best fellowship. And when we left there, I can't tell you how long we laughed that night, but we laughed long enough. We did some crying, but it wasn't because we were sad. It's because we laughed a lot. And you know, when we left there that night, we got back in the car, I told Janine, I said, if there's one thing I love out of being a minister, it's the fellowship. It's the visiting. It's reaching out when people are in need. Tuesday evening or early afternoon, Janine and I sat down, we called Mike and Terry, and we talked to them on the phone. And it was just so good to hear somebody say, thank you for calling. Thank you for thinking of us. You know, it really, when you're reaching out in love to somebody, it does so much for their heart and life. You don't realize the ministry. You don't realize the seed that you're planting. And you don't realize what kind of love and life that you're putting into somebody else. You're actually building somebody up in the name of the Lord Jesus. And see, that's what the Lord called us to do. He called all of us to be laborers. That means everybody who is a child of God should be a fellow laborer. The Apostle Paul said in verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. See, if you're going to get something to grow in a field, what do you have to do? You have to prepare that field. Well, needless to say, the farmers got out around us this last week and sprayed anhydrous ammonia. I hate that stuff. That stuff drives me batty. I won't get on that wagon train. But anyway, they got out and sprayed the fields and they turned brown. And I've been watching farmers get out on the fields and turn their fields over. And after they've turned their fields over, they go out the next day and they have their big planters on the back of their tractor. And they're all filled with whatever kind of seed of whatever they're planting for their crop that year. And man, they get out there and they carefully do the work and they diligently get the work done. They work from sun up until sundown planting the field. So see, the field has got to be ready in order for crops to grow. And what I mean by that for the church, we have to prepare the field. What I mean by that, we've got to get on our knees before the Lord and pray. And we've got to get ourselves in line with God's heart. And we have to ask the Lord to do a work inside of us that would be pleasing to Him. Not us, and not to anybody else around us, but that would be pleasing to Him. And then we have got to get the field ready. We have to read the Word of God. We have to pray. We have to do the work that the Lord's called us to do. And when it comes time to sow the seeds, to plant the seed, and you know that as soon as the farmer gets the seeds planted, they don't pop up just overnight. This ain't no Jack and the Beanstalk type of story. You know how Jack planted the beans and he went to bed, and the next morning there's a big beanstalk all the way. That's the story, though. That's not how life works. So when the farmer plants the seeds, they have to receive water. They have to receive sunlight. They also have to receive, get this, shade as well. And they have to be cared for and nurtured. The weeds, like if you had a garden, you have to get the weeds out of the garden. So in our life, we have to do all these things, but we also have to get the sin out of our life. We have to get the sinful weeds out of the garden of our life. We have to get the field ready, get that ground ready. And when the seeds are planted and we continue, we have got to let God be in control as the workers, because when those seeds start to sprout and grow in people's lives, we have to thank God for doing it. We should never take any kind of credit. This morning, my wife wasn't feeling good, and so she'd been having some pain in her shoulder and stuff. So I worked on her shoulder and all that. And after a little while, I asked her, I said, well, how you feel, babe? And she said, well, I feel much better. And then right before I left the house, I said, well, how you feeling now? Oh, I feel so much better. She goes, thank you. I said, thank the Lord, He did it. Thank the Lord, He did it. There's no such thing as an unemployed Christian. I always hate to hear that when a Christian says, well, there ain't nothing for me to do. Oh, oh yeah, there is. But a lot of Christians take on the mindset and say, well, I'm not gifted like so-and-so. Well, God didn't give you the same gifts. God gave Corrine and Bob and Laura and Effie different gifts. I would love to learn to play the piano, but you know what? What good would it be if all of us were piano players in the church? Well, number one, how are we all going to sit on the bench together? You know? So the church only needs one piano player. The church needs one song leader. The church needs everybody, though, to bring their gifts together. If everybody in the body of Christ was an arm, then who's going to be the rest of the body? You see what I'm saying? That's why when we come together, we bring our talents and the things that God's put inside of us, and we say, Lord, let me use these talents for your glory. Because, Father, I want to see us grow together and bond. I always liked that thing we did as a kid. We used to take our fingers and put them together, and we'd say, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up, and there's the people. And I never understood. And then my grandfather asked me one time, he was a pastor, he said, Jimbo, what do you see there? Well, I was being a little smart elk. I said, well, I see a bunch of fingers together. He said, no, if that's the church. I said, well, I see people intertwined with one another, not afraid to be close together, not afraid to love. He said, that's right. So when we come together and we start working for the Lord, we become bonded together. See, in God's house, there should never be any separation between believers. And that really goes for when people come to visit the church. People, when they come to visit, man, they should see the Lord's love at work in our life. They should stand back and go, wow, whatever's happening here, I want to be a part of it. You know why people don't stay in a lot of churches? Because they don't see a lot of enthusiasm. They don't see smiles. They see people that look like they'd rather be somewhere else. I mean, how many of you would love to be here? You got a good-looking preacher to look at. I'm just kidding. See, I made you smile, though, didn't I? I made a lot of people smile on that one. But see, we have to have this kind of enthusiasm in the Lord's house. Because see, when Jesus was out doing work, Jesus was putting love into people. He was looking at the heart, and He was looking at the need of the person. He didn't look at what was on the outside, but He looked at the heart, and Jesus was moved with compassion. And that's why when Jesus told us to go and become fishers of men, to go out and reach the lost, He wanted us to go out and look at people's hearts, and He wanted us to be moved with the same compassion. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been to places and I've been in churches, and there were people there, and I'm not knocking these people, and I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm not. But you know what? There are some folks that just don't take a bath. And there are some folks that don't wash their clothes. They don't. It's just how they've lived, and they don't know any better. Nobody's ever really, I don't guess, showed them. But you know what? It's always been something for me to be able to walk up to them and wrap my arms around them and get past that exterior and look at the heart and know that all they needed was somebody to love them. So see, there's no such thing as an unemployed Christian. There's always something to be done. We were given a great commission. God gave us all a job description. That's the Great Commission. If you don't know what the Great Commission is, I want you to read about it in your Bible today. And it happened when Jesus, before Jesus ascended into heaven, when Jesus told them, go and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So see, the Great Commission wasn't just given to preachers. It wasn't given to just deacons or Sunday school teachers. The Great Commission was given to every single one of us. Even if you reach one person a week for the Lord, you've done great work. But we need to strive on a daily basis to go after the ones that are out there. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every child that knows Jesus Christ has some form of gifts that God put inside of them. And we should never sit around going, well, I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I could do what they do. Well, why? God made you who you are, and God made you for a reason and a purpose. And what you need to do is get on your knees and discover what that is. Bow before the Lord and say, yeah, I mean, Jesus knew His purpose. Jesus didn't walk around going, well, I wish I was like Peter or John. I wish I was like, you know, somebody else. I wish I could have this kind of life. Jesus never did that. Jesus knew His Father's will. And Jesus stuck to doing what His Father's will was. Jesus was a fellow laborer. See, Jesus came here to this earth to be a servant for you and I. He was our role model. He was our example. And if He told us to go out and work forth and bring others to Christ, then that's exactly what we need to be doing. And if we're sincere about it, and if we go after those that are lost and dying or those who are unchurched, God's going to bless the works that we do, and God will start filling the seats of this church. I've seen a lot of churches where people are really going now. Let's see if I'm going to say this the right way. A lot of times people flock to churches because of what's going on there. They see that, but they're not really doing it for God. They're just there for what's happening, like the big praise bands or certain folks go there. Oh, well, hey, so-and-so goes there. Well, why don't we go? I heard they're pretty popular. Well, why don't we go there? Maybe we'll become popular too. Well, living for Christ is not a popularity contest. For me, I would rather be in a church where there's a few faithful people serving the Lord than there would be a whole full of a whole bunch of people in a praise band that's doing it all for themselves. I would rather serve in a church where people are real for the Lord. Because I tell you what, a church that's on fire for God, even if it's 5, 10, 20, 30 people, if a church is on fire for God, that church will continue to go year after year, day after day, month after month, whatever it is. And God will always give that church a clear and definitive direction in the way that they need to go. And that church will always prosper. God has equipped every single one of us that He has called. Like I said earlier, we have different gifts. We can pray. We need to pray for our church, our church members. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for the lost because they are out there all around us. And the only way that we can discover them, like I said last Sunday, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and let me see them. Bring them to me. Or take me to them, dear God. God's not interested in how many talents that we have. What God's interested in is how we will use those talents. See, there's a yard sale coming up this week starting Thursday. And there's going to be a lot of people come here. And you know what? There's people going to be looking at stuff to buy. But you know what is beyond that? There's going to be a lot of people that will come here this week that don't know Jesus. Or maybe they haven't been in church a long time because somebody hurt them. And one of the greatest things we could do, Father, put the words inside of me and let me minister to as many people as I can today. Let me witness. Let me show them the love that You've put inside of me. Because you know what? When we start reaching them right out here doing the work that God's called us to do, as I said, eventually God's going to bring them right in here. And if God doesn't bring them in here, that's fine. Because God has a place of worship for everyone to serve. There are a lot of people that have talents in singing, teaching, encouragement. There are so many different abilities. There's musical talents. There's people who, I'm telling you what, there's people who know how to sew. There's people that know how to write. I tell you, if you put a pen in my hand and a piece of paper in front of me and ask me to write something, I'd be sitting there 3 or 4 hours later going, well, what do I write? I just never had that ability. That's like when it comes time for sermons, I'm like, Lord, you got to give me a sermon and you got to give me all the words because I don't want something coming out of me. I want it to come from You. And how many times I've had people ask me, well, how do you know what to preach? I don't. When I surrender to the Lord, though, then He starts speaking and He starts ministering through me, and I give Him the honor and the glory and the credit for it. God also measures our service not by our ability, but by our willingness. I saw something. There's a young lady who's got a Western store. It's an online thing on Facebook. And I didn't know this until a few weeks back. And anyway, she's got a heart of gold. And you know, I didn't notice till 3 weeks ago, this young lady, the only part of her body that she has is maybe from her belly button up. She's missing the rest of it. And now some people in that condition would probably go, well, I'm no use. I ain't got no legs. I ain't got this, that. But you know what this young lady does? She has an online Western store. And one thing she does a lot of on her Facebook page is she ministers to people. She witnesses to people about the Lord. She doesn't tell people, oh, I don't have any legs, so I can't do this or that. Oh, pitiful me or whatever. No, she sees what she can do, and she's taking that, and she's building on it, and she's trusting God with her future, and she reaches so many people, and I read comments that people put out there for her, and every time I see her in a picture, she's even on horseback, sitting on a specially made saddle for her, and she's on horse, and she's smiling. So see, it's not by our ability, it's by our willingness. What's in the heart? You know, if Jesus is in your heart, and you ought to be willing right immediately to start doing the work that God's called you to do. I mean, I told you the joke a while back about the wife come in one Sunday morning to her husband and said, "Honey, wake up, it's time to go to church." "No, I'm not going to church this morning." And she says, "No, I'm telling you, you need to get up right now. You need to get out of bed, and you need to get ready and go down to church." And he went back to sleep. Well, a few minutes later, his wife come back in there, and she come in and she hit him. She said, "Now, honey, I told you, get out of that bed, get up, and get your clothes on. It is time to go to church." And he rolled over angrily and said, "You give me one good reason why I should get up and put my clothes on and go to the church." And she says, "Because you're the pastor." We should be willing to get out of bed at all cost and serve the Lord and go to church and bring our Bibles. And we should be willing to read and pray. And we should be willing to get excited about what God has done for us. If it wasn't for Jesus doing what He did on the cross, you and I would have no hope. We wouldn't have a future. We would be condemned for all of eternity to hell. Now, God promises that there will be a payday. In verse 8, the Bible says in the last part, "But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor." So there's rewards. There's rewards that we will receive upon the earth. But also, greater than that, we're going to have treasures in heaven. We're going to be rewarded for all that we've done in heaven. It's waiting for us. If you want the best, you have to give your best. And you know what? You will be rewarded for what you've done. If you do very little, you will be rewarded very little. If you've done a lot, you're going to be rewarded a lot. But here's the thing. When we do something, We shouldn't do it out of ourself or out of the flesh. "Oh, well, I should do this because look what I'm going to get." It should be from the heart, not what we think up here. We will have a reward for all of eternity. Are you willing to be a fellow laborer with God today? And you ask, "Well, what can I do?" You can serve in your church. You can serve at your job. You can serve out in the community. You can serve in your own home. But what will you do? "Father, what do you want me to do? Show me today what it is that I need to do, Lord. Move upon my heart and speak it to me, and I will do it. Who do I need to witness to today?"